May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 708. As when a child, secure of arms, hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. Hymn 708.
This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let us turn to the Gospel according to John and chapter 10. John chapter 10, we will just read the first 30 verses. John chapter 10, the first 30 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, Even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And there we'll leave the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek to bow before thy name and thy majesty. For Lord, thou art to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And Lord, thou hast made all things, thou hast made this earth, thou hast formed it out of nothing. Thou hast formed us and put our breath in us and given us our souls. And Lord, thou art the God of salvation. With thine own hand thou hast wrought a redemption whereby millions shall be with thee forever in heaven, that apart from thy work should have been forever in hell. Lord, thou hast borne the sin of many. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that we gather together in a day of grace, in the day of the power of the Holy Spirit, in a day that when thou mayest be found, in a gospel day. And, Lord, we gather together in the short period of our lives. O Lord, that time allotted unto us on earth, Lord, that time of our sojourning here, Lord, do grant that we might spend that time in fear, knowing that we were not redeemed with silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, and without blemish. Do grant that thy love shed abroad in our hearts might have a drawing effect, a cleansing effect, sanctifying effect. Thou hast said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. We pray for that drawing. We pray for thy blessing upon thy word tonight. That, Lord, that thou hast grant thy Spirit to help us, do grant a door of utterance, and do grant a way of entrance, that thy word might enter into the hearts of each ear and bring forth fruits to declare from whence it hath come and what it means to receive it. O Lord, thou hast said, everyone shall receive of my words. And O Lord, may we be able to say, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We pray for the real work of thy Spirit in each soul. Lord, may each one here be precious in thy sight, and the souls be precious in their own. Lord, do grant us to truly know that we are born of thy Spirit, that we are pilgrims, strangers here below, and that thou hast granted unto us an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. We pray, Lord, for this blessing to be upon each. Do remember those who know thee, love thee, been called by thee, have made profession in thy name, and do uphold and strengthen and encourage them in the way. To remember those that thou hast begun a good work in them. And Lord, do bring them to full assurance of faith. Do bring them to a true profession and an open profession. And may they have the joy of thy salvation. And O Lord, do remember those that do desire the things of God, but it may be with even just a desire that comes and goes, and that is not very sincere. Lord, we do seek that thou wouldst make thy work appear, and that thou wouldst grant that those unconcerned, those without any real need, even this night, come into thy house. 'Tis another evening service. Lord, do cause that they might go out differently. Lord, we do seek for those real changes under thy word, that thy word might have a real effect upon us, that it might bring forth fruit to thine honour and glory. We pray for those in affliction. We do seek that thou hast helped them, be with them. We know of many that are afflicted at this time. There are those who have fallen sick of the sickness whereof they shall die. Do be with the sick and the dying. Be with their loved ones and those that tend them. We seek that thou hast sanctified to us not only the things that happen to us personally, but those things that come to our ears as well. We pray for those who have lost loved ones tragically. We think of those in the air crash, and Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to comfort them, and especially any of thy people amongst them, support them at such a time. And O Lord, we would be mindful in these things how many of our fellow mortals are ushered into eternity without a moment's warning. And though with the airline crashes it is something relatively unusual, yet we think of how many thousands die on our roads each year, and how much we use the roads, and how little we think when we leave home whether we shall be ushered into eternity before the end of that journey. O Lord, do prepare us to stand before thy face. Prepare us for all thy righteous will. Leave us not to walk carelessly, prayerlessly, but cause that we might be sober and think and pray over what we do, how we act, what we speak, what is the motion of our hearts. O Lord, we know of those who would drink to excess with the purpose so that they can do things with abandon and carelessness and thoughtlessness. But Lord, how solemn it is that sometimes we live like that. O do cause that we might ponder the path of our feet, that we might consider our ways, that we might be mindful of the words that we speak and the path that we are going. O Lord, do be pleased to use thy word, use thy providences to cause us to take heed and to watch and to pray. We confess before thee our many sins, our many iniquities, how foolish we are, how soon we wander from thee, how soon we need thee to bring us back and to rescue us again. O save us from our sins and cause us to cleave unto thee as we have sung. O Lord, do be with those that are under thy chastening hand, every one of thy children thou wilt chasten. We know it shall be at some times in their lives. And Lord, those that are in tribulation, thou hast said ye must through much tribulation enter the kingdom, and thou dost measure that out. It would be a strange thing to come before an assembly like this evening, and there is none in tribulation, none in fiery trials, none under thy chastening hand. O Lord, we do pray that we might have thy Spirit to shine upon what is being done in our heart and in our lives, and to reconcile that with thy word. Make us to realize, as the apostles did, at times that they were in things that had been prophesied, things that had been foretold. Lord, may we know that we are in the footsteps of the flock, that is not a strange thing, the fiery trial that is to try us. Lord, but it is that path that thy dear people have and do know. O Lord, do shine upon thy work then. Own it, comfort, strengthen, and encourage thy people in thee, and deliver us from this present world, from our besetting sins, and all that grieves us. Do grant us the tender fear of God, and the love of God, and the love of the brethren in our hearts. Bless this church and this congregation. Bless their deacons. Be with them as they stand before them, service by service. Bless the hymns that are given out. Be pleased to add unto their number such as should be saved to this church here. And Lord, may each one receive of thy hand as they come in and out of thy house. O Lord, may this be a rich pasture under thy blessing and through thy Spirit's work. O Lord, we pray for those in authority over us. We pray for our Queen. Do bless her. Bless her with thy saving grace. Remember this, our guilty land. And we pray, Lord, that at this time in our history, such an important time, that we might see thy hand to go before. We would commit all things into thy hand, what is good for the real good of the Church of God. And Lord, that thou hast grant us to see in providence and in things that are done, the handiwork of our God. O encourage thy remnant at times like this. Lord, we would prize those things which are from above and the liberties and blessings of the gospel. And we pray that these might be maintained to us in whatever course our nation takes. Lord, may thy blessings still be upon thy people, in spite of all our sins, our provocations, our departures from thee. Lord, we confess our sin is a reproach to us as a nation. We do beg that there might be a revival granted, that righteousness once more might exalt this nation. Now, Lord, do come with us to thy word. Lord, bless the word. Grant a sweet savour in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May his precious blood be sprinkled upon us. And may there be that done that does redound to thine honour and glory. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind, and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
Thank you.
seeking for the help of the Lord and feeling to greatly need it. And I know that what I really desire is not so much to feel the door of utterance, that'd be very nice for a minister to feel it, but to have that entrance into your hearts. However broken my delivery may be, but if the word enters your hearts and is blessed, then that's the end of the ministry. That's what we desire before God. I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 23 and verse 1, just the first clause. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a psalm of David. And David literally was a shepherd from his youth. He knew what it was like to own his sheep, to love those sheep, to lead them and to try and find the best pasture for them. He knew what it was to protect them. He tells us how that he delivered them out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the lion. He knew what it was like to be with them in the open fields, to have a sheepfold, to have like they have in Palestine with the circle of stones, a wall around with an entrance in it, and the shepherd sits in that entrance and he is the door. David himself had been a shepherd. So when he says here, the Lord is my shepherd, he knew exactly what that meant. As himself, as one of the Lord's sheep, one of the Lord's people, and the Lord in the position of the shepherd over him. The Jews also, in our Lord's time, they knew what was meant by a shepherd. The Old Testament is full of references to the shepherd. The blessing that Jacob blessed his son Joseph with was concerning the shepherd, the stone of Israel. We think of what is set forth in the 80th Psalm, have in the way that psalm begins at the beginning of it, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. And it's very evident that the shepherd is joined to the Saviour. The Jews would have understood that anyone that was claiming to be a shepherd or a good shepherd was really claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God, because shepherd does point to that which is God, Jehovah, I am. I am the good shepherd. We have also that in Zechariah, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. The prophecies were that the shepherd should be smitten. We think of these solemn prophecies in a way, and not as comparing with our Lord, but that with Ahab, the king, how that it was said and in prophecy that he would be smitten, and the prophet, he saw all Israel as without a shepherd, without their king, without their leader. The Jews then, they knew very clearly what was meant. That is why they took up stones to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, "Why do you take up stones to stone me?" And they said, "Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Yes, he had said, as we closed our reading, "I and my Father are one," but he'd been teaching of himself as the shepherd. And they knew what that meant. And David knew what a shepherd meant. And for him to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," the Lord really is my Saviour, my Redeemer. David, he spake of the Lord. He saw Christ die. He was a man of faith. And may we also then be able to use the language to be able to speak what David speaks here. I believe there are some of you here that even if you perhaps may falter tonight, you have been able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, those of you here that may really desire that you might be able to testify of this. And there may be those of you who have never thought about it, never had any concern, and you just come and go from the house of God without a shepherd and without feeling a need of one at all. In the chapter we read in John 10, the Lord said that there would be other sheep. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." What he was meaning, other sheep apart from the Jewish nation. They were like one fold. The Gentiles were another fold. And he said, "Them also I must bring, that there should be one fold and one shepherd." And Paul speaks of this in his epistle to the Ephesians, where that middle wall of partition is broken down. "Ye, the Gentiles, sometime were alienated by wicked works, hath he now brought nigh, reconciled in the blood of his Son." One fold, one shepherd. And so I want to speak, if the Lord help, basing my remarks more on our second reading, our reading in John 10. But the important thing with the word that I've read as a text, it doesn't just say the Lord is a shepherd as a statement of fact, a knowledge of doctrine. It says the Lord is my shepherd. It is personal, a personal profession. And that is what is so vital. However much we might know in our heads of the things of God, that will never save us. It must be taught by God in the heart. It must be felt. It must be real. And it must be tried. And those of you who have been tried and with many temptations and trials, you might have seen others brought through similar things and they have cast everything away. But bless the Lord for trials he has brought you into, sustained you through them and brought you safely through the other side. In this psalm here, he speaks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, even in these paths, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That made all the difference. In the hymns we have sung, The emphasis has been on cleaving and keeping close to the Lord, and the Lord close with us. And that will be so with the shepherd, the good shepherd. He's close to his people. His people desire to be close to him because they feel their weakness, they feel their need, they feel their need of the shepherd, the good shepherd, a dependence upon him. I want to then look more particularly at what we have set before us by the Lord himself. Remember now, we're looking at some 1600 years or so after the first promises, those given with Jacob, and 1,000 or so years after David. And the Lord himself coming, the good shepherd himself coming and speaking these things. Well, I want to notice first the vital need to be able to speak this language. And then secondly, what Christ says of himself as the good shepherd. And then what he says about his sheep. And hopefully, in that last point, there may be some things, especially, that some of you might be able to see. That you are his sheep. But firstly, why it is so vital. The Apostle Paul says, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our text is a confession. A confession of the relationship that David had with his God. The Christian faith, the true Reformed faith, is a faith that comes with assurance and a knowledge of salvation. With the Roman Catholic, because it depends upon his works, he does not have that assurance and that comfort. With the Arminian, he has believed with his free will. He could equally disbelieve with it as well. But when the work is the Lord's work, when it is according to the scriptures of truth, then the people of God are able to speak the language that we have here. The Lord is my shepherd. And the whole passage here as well reinforces this, because he says that I know my sheep and that the sheep know me. There is a mutual knowledge one of another. The Lord has known his people from eternity. He has chosen them from eternity. He has suffered for them. He has bled for them. But in time, he makes known what he has done for them. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Those that the Lord met with, those that are recorded how he healed them, he blessed them in his time upon earth, every one of them was very, very clear as to who the Lord was and what he had done for them. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then you have the man that was born blind. Remember, the Lord had anointed his eyes. He sent him away, he came seeing. He'd heard the voice of the Lord, but he hadn't seen him. And when he was severely tried with the Pharisees, all he could say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. But when the Lord then met with him again, he said, dost thou believe on the name of the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? He was seeing him for the first time. And the Lord clearly said to him that I am he. Thou hast both seen him, and it's he that speaketh with thee. The Lord doesn't leave those whom he blesses and reveals himself to ignorant of the relationship that they have with him and the blessing that he has blessed them with. Remember, the devil, the adversary, is always a liar from the beginning. And he will try, and those of you who have read Bunyan's Holy War realize that Legion, the devil, knew that the best way to attack man's soul was through thousands of doubters. To doubt the Lord, to doubt what he'd done in their hearts, to doubt his testimony, doubt their interest in him. One of the purposes of the Christian ministry is to set forth the word of God very clearly. What the Lord has said, to preach the word, the devil will be coming in and saying, hath God said? The Lord's servants are lifting up, God hath said, this is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that is the armor, and that is the weapons of the people of God. The Lord will not forsake the work of his own hands, and his work is clearly set forth in the word of God and written in the hearts and lives of his people, and it's a great comfort to them when he shines upon what he's done within, and he shines upon the word, and he bears witness that these two things are the same. What I've done with you is what I have foretold. The path is the path of the people of God. We have in Hebrews 11 that cloud of witnesses, those that all died in faith, very different lives, but they all had faith and died in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is vital then, vital that we don't treat as an unimportant thing a profession of faith, a testimony of the Lord. The Lord says that they that shall deny me before men, them will I deny before the angels in heaven. And those that confess me before men, I confess before my Father and before the holy angels. What a wonder that the Lord should own his people and should acknowledge them, that they are his. Well, in this chapter, in the second place, I want to notice what Christ says, what he says of himself as the shepherd. He says at first that he is the door. Now he pictured the sheepfold and the gap, the way that they come in and out, and that the shepherd himself performs the function of the door. If there was to be any other that should come, they wouldn't dare to try and go through the door. They would climb up some other way. There's only one door. There's only one good shepherd. The door, our Lord says, here is him. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The entrance, again he speaks of it as the narrow way and the straight gate that leadeth to that narrow way. I am the door. The Lord also says that he is the good shepherd. He speaks of other shepherds. He speaks of those that are hirelings, and the difference is that they don't own the sheep. But the good shepherd, that he actually cares for those sheep. He loves them because they are his own. Everything that the good shepherd does for those sheep proceeds out of love. The good shepherd. How the Lord assures his people at times that that is his motive in how he deals with them. In Jeremiah we have, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Why? Because of some of the dealings that are done with them, they're thinking that he's thinking evil and not peace. But he assures them it's otherwise. We have in Psalm 107, many times when through their own foolishness and own ways they fell down, there was none to help, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses, yet they went back into more troubles again and again. But at the end we read, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. His loving kindness is a loving kindness to be understood. At first sight, it might not appear so. Many who have had afflictions when they have first come, they've looked upon it as that which is black, the Lord's hand against them. But by and by, they're able to say with the psalmist, it was good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. This good shepherd, out of love, sometimes sends affliction to accomplish his end and to keep his people. He also says that he gives his life for the sheep. In verse 11, also verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. What an amazing thing. And yet really the very heart of salvation. That the Lord should take the life to take, be made like unto his brethren. Not like the angels, which are just spirit, not like beasts, which are just flesh, but the seed of Abraham, a soul and a body, to live his life here below, a spotless life, and then to lay it down. The Lord is my shepherd. Will be one that views this shepherd that has laid down their life for them. 'Tis Jesus in this sinner's place. We have also that the Lord knows this good shepherd, he knows his sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And of course, that follows then, and am known of mine. But thinking especially of his laying down his life. When our Lord suffered at Calvary, he knew who he was suffering for. He knew whose sins were laid upon him. Each sin, he felt those sins. There are some that teach that the Lord just laid down a sacrifice, but that it is limited by election as to who shall benefit from it. The scriptures speak particular redemption, that a just price and a just weight and a just balance. They teach a redemption like in Numbers 3, where the Levites were used to redeem the firstborn in Israel. Where there was more firstborn than there were Levites, then they had to pay 5 shekels each into the treasury of the tabernacle for that redemption. It was one for one. And the Lord had laid down his life for the sheep, each individual one. And so it is emphasized that here he knows them. And this is a very important point as well for assurance, because the dealings of the Lord with his people, what will come out again and again in them is that the Lord does know them, because his dealings are so particular, and they'll be persuaded that he knows them through and through. He knows their heart, he knows their sins, he knows their lives, he knows where they are, he knows their exercises, their burdens, and everything about them. And that is used to bring about that second part, and am known of mine. Now, with a child, when they're very small, you might think, well, the parent definitely knows that child. But as that child grows older, then more and more, they know the parent. They recognize the parent. And very often it is because of the close contact, because of the dealings that are done with it and the things that are done for that child. Well, the Lord, as a shepherd, as he speaks of himself as the shepherd, he knows his sheep. There's another thing that runs through this passage that the Lord speaks of himself. And that is not the relationship between him and the sheep, but of him and his father. Remember, we said before what the Jews read into our Lord saying that he was the good shepherd. But also when he says, I and my father are one. Here was what many view, just Jesus of Nazareth. But for him to be the true shepherd of the scriptures, for him to be the Saviour that the Father would acknowledge and that would truly save his people to the uttermost, he must have the full approval and stamp of heaven, the authority of heaven. You know, if we had someone come to us and give us a piece of paper and say, you go to such and such a house and perhaps a National Trust property, and you hand in that paper and they'll let you in, and you hand it in the paper and they looked at the paper and say, who's that? I don't know that person. There's no authority here. And it's completely useless. It is vital that the salvation that we have through our Lord is acknowledged in heaven, that it is completely with the Father's approval and working together. And that is what flows right the way through here. And so we have in the relationship in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of mine. That's a relationship between him and his sheep. But then he says the relationship between his Father and himself. And we think of other chapters later on in John especially, where he speaks of that relationship. I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And all the time there's that assurance that the work of salvation is with the Father and the Son. Never think that the God the Father is an angry judge and the Son is making intercession between the two. Salvation is of a triune God, and we close our services with it, don't we, with the benediction of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is one God, one salvation. And so our Lord also says concerning that relationship and concerning the authority that he has, he says in verse 18, that no man taketh it, that is his life, from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Again, it is a joint thing with the Father. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. The assurances that are given in this way. Also, where did the sheep come from? In verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, that is his sheep, is greater than all. That's where they came from. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. And then also he speaks how that he holds them, those sheep, that they are in his hand, and they are in the Father's hand. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He closes it with, I and my Father are one. That oneness. The blessings known as the Lord is my shepherd, or Christ is my shepherd, has the full stamp and authority of heaven and the Father's full approval on it. A beautiful bringing together here. Vital for us to know that relationship, to know that we have eternal life given us by the Lord as our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, lastly, I want to notice what our Lord says of the sheep. We mentioned of that knowledge of them, but now also their knowledge of him. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Father will reveal him. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. To them will he show his covenant. The work of God in salvation is a revelation of Christ to a sinner, a showing to his sheep that he is their shepherd, and so that they actually know him, they recognize him. You think of Mary at the grave. She thought first it had been the gardener, but then he just spoke her name and immediately she knew him. We think later on when Our Lord was on the seashore and the disciples were in the boat. And the Lord called to them. He said, "Children, have you any bread? Have you any meat?" And they toiled all night. They had taken nothing. And the Lord then spoke to them as to casting the net on the right side of the ship. When they enclosed that great multitude of fishes, then John says, "It is the Lord." Peter, he throws himself into the sea to go to the Lord. The Lord, known by the miracle that he'd already done before, and now the other side of the grave when he'd risen again, the same miracle again, the same handiwork. And through that, John recognizes this is the Lord's handiwork. This is how he works. The Lord is known by the judgment that he executeth, his handiwork, known also by his voice, known also by the way that he works. And very often with his people, when he first begins with them, and it might be different with each of the people of God, but one thing with each one of his sheep, if they live after he calls them 50 years, 60 years or more, that his dealings with them will be recognizable right through their lives. There'll be marks of it, of which they know that the same God that first started to speak to them through the Word of God, speak to them through the ministry, speak to them in giving them a tender conscience, a teachable spirit, opening up the Word to them, shepherding them with providence, a shut door here, an open door there, an affliction there, a sorrow, a trial here or there. And they'll recognize those things that the Lord has used before and what has had an effect upon them before as well. When these things happen, their hearts are touched, their hearts are softened. Dear Job, he says, "He maketh my heart soft." When you've had a hard heart for a long while and the Lord does that, you know who's done it. You know the power and work of the Lord in your soul. The Lord is telling us of this, that his sheep, they do know him, and it is through the dealings that he has with them, the closeness that he has with them. We read also that they specifically know his voice. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's the most solemn thing that is said, and there is a division here, we're told in verse 19, "There is a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And the Lord says to them, yet ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." Those that were there, there was a division between them. Some were his sheep, some were not. Some believed, some did not believe. Some did not receive his words, others did receive the word. And the Lord is saying, this is the difference that is made. My sheep, they do hear my voice. They do hear my word, and they do follow me. Remember years ago, over in Tasmania, my father had a herd of cattle, in his case, a very hilly land. And one time he said, "You look at this," he said, "I'm going to call the cattle." And he goes out into the field and he starts to call. For a while there's nothing, and then you hear this thundering of hooves, and over the brow of the hill comes this whole herd of cattle, and they knew his voice, and they came at his call. Quite a remarkable sight. And this is what the Lord says of his people. And there's another thing he says of them as well, that they have discernment in what they hear. They say, "A stranger Will they not follow? They know not the voice of strangers. So really, it's in two ways. One, they do recognize the voice, and another, they do not. A discernment, a difference. Sometimes the scriptures often take this way. Sometimes the Lord's dear people can't see themselves or can't see the blessing of the Lord, shall we say, in a positive way, but they might see it in a negative way. Or in the example that's before us, there might be one of you here who say, well, I cannot really feel to say that I've heard his voice, I know his voice. But you might be able to say, well, put the other way, to hear other voices. I know the voices from my own wicked heart or from the world, that's not the shepherd. I'm not going to follow that. And there's a clear knowing where the Lord is not. We mentioned before about John 14, where the Lord says, if it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord's silence had a voice. If it was in my Father's house and many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. So his very silence said, there are many mansions there. There is a provision there. Sometimes the silence of the Lord is as much a voice to the people of God as when he speaks. I proved that more than once. The Lord evidences very much here that he knows these sheep. And what is the principal work or function of a shepherd? Is it not like David says in the verse of our text, I shall not want, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. It is to feed, isn't it? To feed, to lead, to protect. And in John chapter 6, our Lord speaks of the food for the people of God is my flesh and my blood is meat indeed. Except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you. When the Lord leads his sheep and leads his people, that's where he will lead them to feed. To feed by faith upon what he has done for them, the laying down of his life for them, the suffering in their place, the laying down of his life. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for me. What a contrast is in Isaiah 53, beginning a root out of dry ground, no form nor comeliness, that we should desire him. And then the passage opens up all of the sufferings. He had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He shall see his seed. He shall see his sheep. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Holy Spirit of God, in revealing a precious Christ, will reveal him as the shepherd, and he'll also be the manna and food and pasture for his people. He is everything for them. What a blessed testimony it is if we can come in and say, as David did, the Lord is my shepherd. Have we had those things that the Lord has dealt with us? Have we always heard the word the same in the house of God? Or can we know a time that we began to hear with new ears? Has the Bible been always the same Bible? Or has it become a new book to us? Has the hymn book always been the same old hymn book? Or is it changed and it's been a different hymn book because the language of the hymns has begun to speak the language of our hearts? Or really, what we have begun to walk in is walked along with those who have gone before us. And what about the world? That which has been and will be the pasture for an unregenerate heart. Is that still a pasture? Or is it a waste howling wilderness? Is it that you, like with the children of Israel, must have the manna from heaven and must have the water out of the rock to satisfy you? That there has been a change in appetite. You can be sure if the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, he will not lead you, he will not lead me in pastures of uncleanness, worldliness, and the things that belong unto this life. You set our affections on things above where Christ sitteth. He will lead us there, direct us there, lift us up above earth. If we know something also of the Lord's dealings in providence, providence and grace go hand in hand together. Many of the Psalms, Psalm 34, you read over that psalm the providential experience of the psalmist. It was when he feared for his life, David feared for his life in front of Achish in the Philistines. And it brought out all of that exercise in Psalm 34. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And those cries and those exercises came from real things that were happening in his life. Hezekiah, who was sick unto death and told to put his house in order, and then he was healed. He cried unto the Lord, and we are told in Isaiah 38 of what was going on in his soul at that time. And he says, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Has it been so with you that the Lord has brought the things you walk through in your life to go hand in hand with what goes on in your heart, your soul's exercise, your prayers to him, your cries to him, deliverances and helps and returning to give thanks to him? We have in Romans 8 that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. When the Lord, as a good shepherd, he calls out his sheep and they follow him, and they will lead, and he will lead in those paths that through certain providences and things that happen in your lives, there's been instruction for your soul. It's unlocked parts of the Word of God. It's shown you sins and evils you never knew were within. And he's shown you also the remedy in Christ. Sheep are spoken of often as silly sheep, ones that wander, fall into the ditch. David would have known very much of this. But as a good shepherd, he doesn't take his rod and beat and berate his sheep for their foolishness in the things that they've gone into, but lovingly brings them up, seeks them, finds them out, and brings them home again. All of the people of God, though they may have times like dear Jacob, who will say, all these things are against me, yet they will eventually, as dear Jacob did, be able to praise the Lord and bless the Lord for all he'd been through. The God that fed me and led me all my life long, bless the lads. Sometimes it is a waiting awaiting until the Lord finish his work, until we clearly see what he designs. But it's a sacred thing to realize this path that I've walked, I have not chosen myself. I did not appoint it, not in providence, not in the things that happened in my soul, in my life, or in other lives. But I can see it was appointed. And I can see I have been led in this path. And can see that the Lord has been the leader and director of it. And the issue has been to his honour and to his glory. And when we can see that, and I hope some of you can, and you can see that you have been led of the Lord. He has been your shepherd and he has been your guide. And you have fed, you have been instructed, you have had glimpses of him. He hasn't remained a stranger to you. There may be much that you desire to know more of him. And, well, what can we fully know this side of the grave? That blessed thing to be even able to say, like the man born blind, one thing I know. And there are those of you here that know more than one thing. But may you be able to say, may I be able to say, scripturally, the Lord is my shepherd. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms. Who his quiet shall molest? Who shall violate his rest? Hymn 1071.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.